are now listening to The Air Raid, a podcast put on by the writers of Viva the Matadors, an SB Nation site covering everything Texas Tech athletics.
Hey everybody, this is Wes Shaw here with episode 3 of The Air Raid, the weekly podcast put on by the writers of Viva the Matadors. I've got Jonathan Althouse with me again. Jonathan, how's it going?
Pretty good, Wes. How are you doing this week?
Excellent. Excellent. I've also got Hunter Cook. What's happening, Hunter?
Not a lot. I'm alive. Life is good.
All right. All right. So we're just going to jump in. Again, cut straight to the chase and not mess around, not waste anyone's time. Appreciate all the listeners tuning in. So, again, all football themed, just like last week. First question, what is the biggest strength on the team, Hunter?
Oh, man. Okay. So I don't feel like we're a team with a huge, like, big strength. I think we have a lot of things that are really pretty good, and when combined together, that can make a big strength. But as of right now, I'd have to say it's the offensive backfield. I mean, we have the choice in quarterback between Davis Webb and Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes has proved he can play. Davis Webb put on a really good showing against Arizona State. And honestly, I think there's something to be said about the defense struggling for the first part of the year last year that affected him. Sophomore slump is a very, very real phenomenon for quarterbacks. Some of it might have just gotten to his head. He has the arm. He definitely has the arm to play at a D1 level. The running backs are absolutely there, too. We have DeAndre Washington, 1,000-yard running back returning. We have Justin Stockton, who can break out a big play at literally any given time. All he needs is about 5 yards of space and a good, like, solid running head start, and he can take it to the house from wherever he gets the ball, whether it's on a sweep, whether he's running a little drop play up the middle. If we can just funnel the ball to those two guys, I really believe that they can show up in a huge way. We might have another 1,000-yard rusher and have Stockton rush for 500, 700 as well.
So Jonathan and Matt and I last week on the podcast talked about DeAndre Washington. We were having fun with stats. Does he have the same season or better that he had in 2014? Does he have those in 2015? He rushed for 1,103 yards, I think. So real quick, before I let Jonathan answer the biggest strength on the team, what do you think of DeAndre's chances of eclipsing 1,100 again in 2015?
I think he does better. I think a lot of the rush defense for the conference is a little bit down. I think we're going to have a little bit of a better team next year, which is going to allow us to run the ball more, not force us to pass and stay in games. TCU obviously losing their top two linebackers. Baylor doesn't lose much on defense, but Texas loses. I believe they lose a good middle linebacker, a good defensive tackle. Kansas State loses like nearly everyone. I think we're gonna be able to run the ball a lot better on some teams that we typically have not run the ball on. So I'm actually gonna go over. I think he does better than last season. He's just gonna get more opportunities. I mean, look at Oklahoma where he touched the ball, I believe it's 13 times for 59 yards. Like, he's not gonna have one of those games. We know what kind of commodity we have, and he's going to get at least 25 touches per game. So he goes over, in my opinion.
Yeah. Jonathan, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we all went under merely for the fact that we're going to spread those carries out, not due to the lack of DeAndre having a worse year, just offensively having a better year from more guys. So I think we kind of felt like Stockton was going to be relied upon more this season to even out the workload. Felton was going to come in and get some chances when we really didn't have a third string running back last season. Towards the end of the year, we worked Kenny Williams in. But Stockton was, you know, given a handful of carries, and that was about it at the running back position outside of Washington. So we thought Washington would get a few less carries, and that would keep him under the 1,100. Is that right, Jonathan?
We talked about. We think Stockton is going to be DeAndre's biggest hurdle this year.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's probably going to get a lot more carries and kind of take that away from DeAndre. But like Hunter said, we'll just see. And he may hit 1,200, 1,300.
I hope so.
which would be pretty amazing for a Tech air raid running back.
Right. All right, Jonathan, so biggest strength on the team, what do you think?
I kind of agree with Hunter that we don't have that many strengths, but I think our biggest strength is kind of an intangible thing, and it's familiarity with each other. We didn't lose too many people. The team knows how to play with each other on the field, and I think that's going to really help us out. The defensive backs have a full year of draw by fire, and I think that's going to really help out in the defensive backfield. We are getting a couple new guys on the front seven, so that's going to be a little bit of different personnel for them to worry about playing with. But then on the offensive side, the players don't have to worry about a brand new quarterback coming in. Mahomes played a lot last year, and a lot of the players, other players on the offense, hadn't played with him much other than Cantrell, who played with him in high school. But I think that's going to really help us out. The line knows how the backs work. The backs know how the line works. Mahomes and Webb know how the receivers are going to open up. And I think that's really going to help us out. And so I think that kind of familiarity with each other is our biggest strength that we're going to have this year.
That's interesting. See, when I wrote the question, I was thinking literally just players, position groups. I wasn't thinking of an intangible, but I like that answer. I would probably go offensive line. I think losing one guy on an offensive line that was so strong last season, we're only replacing one, and one of the guys coming back is an All-American. So I would go offensive line, but I like both of y'all's answers. All right, so then let's flip that and talk about weakness, Jonathan. What's the biggest weakness on the team?
I'm kind of going to go with the same answer I had for the strengths, and I think it's going to be a little bit of inexperience. We're still a young team. I don't know that we're going to be able to improve a lot on the field from what we did last year, just because we are so young. Even with that full year, we had a lot of freshmen play last year, and which means this year we're going to have a lot of sophomores play. And one year better may not make a difference. I'm really looking at the defensive side here, and it'll be interesting to see if everybody can buy into Gibbs and his defense, if people can attack the ball and go for that ball like we hope and think that they'll be able to. Over on the offensive side, I don't really think we have too much of a weakness because of that familiarity, but it will be interesting to see how Mahomes, if he's going to be the one to start, if what he did last year was kind of a flash in the pan, or if he is really a great quarterback like we hope.
What do you think, Hunter?
Oh, man. Jonathan, I really like where you went with the intangibles. So I was going to say something else, but I'll flip mine to an overall, like, I'm just going to go full on coach speak. I think our biggest weakness is trust. We do not seem like a team that plays very well with each other, especially on the defensive side of the ball. In a lot of ways, the holes that were opened up, the gaps were not filled. It seemed like everyone is rushing to try to make the play that's not their play to make. For example, like if the run's going to the left side, the right side linebacker has to play the cutback lane. He has to. Otherwise, you know, the cutback lane's going to be there. Instead, we'd have both middle linebackers filling the same gap, leaving a pretty big cutback lane for a running back. This happened so much against Arkansas that it made me want to rip my hair out. Like, and it happened the year before against Baylor, too. And as the games go on, as the season wears thin, and we see points and points and points getting piled on a defense, those problems just get worse and worse and worse as we see, like, okay, if I don't do something, something's not going to happen. So we get people playing really close to the line of scrimmage, trying to make something happen. And when they don't, it's a really big gain. And it can be a really, really big problem, especially when, like, we have some talent on our defense. But let's not kid ourselves. We are not the most talented defense in the conference. That's just the facts of the matter. I believe we can be one of the best. But in terms of, like, physical talent and putting people in the NFL, we're not. And that's okay. We don't need to have 4- and 5-star players to succeed at the college level. But what we do need to do is those guys who aren't rated as high to play well with each other. And right now, that's just something we don't do well.
Yeah, and I would kind of go along those same lines now that you guys have talked through it. I would just say the mental game, the penalties, the bad decisions which lead to turnovers, all of those things. It seems like we are constantly shooting ourselves in the foot with mental mistakes. And that kind of is what you were talking about, Hunter, and the mentality of I've got to make the play instead of I've got to do my job. My job is to fill this gap, not try to make the play when I see the running back two gaps over. So strengths, weaknesses. Let's talk about identify the area, the one area you want to see the most improvement in. Hunter, what do you think that area is?
Two words, form tackling. No other no other explanation needed. I'm just going to say that and leave it at that. Jonathan, it's you. Form tackling. That's it.
That's a really good one. I'm going to kind of go with what you were talking about earlier, Hunter, and that is that the mental thing. I want to see us play better mentally in between the ears. I think last year we had a lot of players that were thinking too much. They were thinking about what play to make instead of just playing and using their instinct, their football instinct. When you're a Division I NCAA football player, it's not your first rodeo. You've been pretty good if you're able to make it this far. So you've got some talent at least, even those players that may not even have one star. And so I want us to play smarter, not necessarily a football improvement, but just I want us to play smarter, to take less penalties, don't make stupid plays. Realize that the safest throw may not be right in between three defenders. It may be over to the sidelines, and just play like you should.
The check down routes are safe. Right. Take them.
Yeah, I'm
right there with you. Absolutely.
I'm not sure the three of us should do a podcast again together. We agree too much. We need a little. We need a little Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith type of dissension going. but yeah, I would say the same thing. I mean, Kingsbury. I've said this in other podcasts. I think both that we've done up to this point, but penalties and turnovers are his focus for the off season. That's what I want to see improvement on, plain and simple. Penalties and turnovers will help dramatically. So,
and by the same token, we said that last year, and we said it the year before that, and we said it the year before that. It's like they're going back to what every defensive coordinator says during spring training. We're going to be a more aggressive defense, and we're going to take the ball. Well, sure, that's what you want, coach, but let's see it in action. I mean, we've been, and that's where I think, like, that David Gibbs hire, like, once again, beating into the dust, like, in that defense, it's not that you do not have to think, it's that the options of what you're doing on any given play are shortened from, like, 5 to 2. And when you're having to cover less ground, you're having to, make less mental checkdowns, like, it just allows you to play faster. And that's where he's got us right now, or hopefully where he's going to have us, is playing fast. I'll settle for a little bit of improvement and playing aggressively to where we're not always on our heels from the second we step on the field.
Well, and I would relate that a little bit to a pitcher. They talk about a repeatable motion when you're pitching and being able to simplify the mechanics to become so small, the number of moving parts, that it's just repeatable and easy. And it's the same thing with what you're talking about on the defensive side of the ball, where it is you don't have to see everything on the field and then make a decision. You've got one or two keys and you've got one or two responsibilities. That's it. So it's very easy, very repeatable, just to see it, do it. So yeah, I agree with what you're saying there. And I'm hoping that Gibbs can make a difference. And I know we've heard penalties and turnovers. Penalties have been an issue since I went back and looked at the numbers. Since I went back and looked at 2000. So, I mean, since Leach first came to Tech, it's been an issue. And I don't know why it can't change between coaches, because you would assume, yeah, it's kind of a, you know, he's a player's coach. He's a little bit more lenient, lets him get away with things. And that's the reason why. And I'm not saying that Leach or Tuberville or Kingsbury is that way, but what I'm saying is a coach that's like that, you may see that from, and then you get this stern coach and it changes. So you would think that their philosophy, their mentality, you would see some differences. But there was one year, I think, where we rated under 100 in the nation in penalties in the past 15 years. And that's just crazy to me that we can go through three coaches and see zero improvement in that area, which is a huge area, I think, of, you know, it's that lost yardage in a game that impacts it so much that someone along the line would figure out that, hey, this is what we should, you know, this is the key to reducing penalties, and it just hadn't been done. Anyway, so speaking of coaches, I'll get off my soapbox. Speaking of coaches, so how would you guys grade Kingsbury's first two seasons here overall? Jonathan, I'll leave it to you first.
Yeah, I was thinking about this one a little bit today. Work was a little bit slow, so I had some time to actually think about football. And I was thinking about two different things. There's the on the field, and there's the off the field. And for on the field, I'm probably only going to give him around a C. He had a really good start, so it's like somebody starting off the semester great, and then it felt like things kind of slacked off. We all know that the record's not that great. And so things on the field, just they didn't look as good. Things didn't look as concise. The cohesion wasn't there. But then when you look at off the field, at what he's been able to do recruiting-wise, I saw a stat today that we have 15 verbal commits for next year, and we had 20 signees all of last year. Now, it's obviously not to say that everybody that's verbally committed for next year is going to sign with us, as we know. But he's been able to recruit people. He's been able to convince people to come here. Him and the staff have been able to make those relationships with the high schools, with the different areas of especially Texas, and then going over into California. And he's been able to recruit 2 4-star quarterbacks. And I'm going to give him a little bit of a minus on what happened with that one kid last year who shall remain nameless. But I think he's done pretty well recruiting. It's hard to recruit to Lubbock because it is kind of far away from everything. You don't get the big time play of the 35 and 45 corridor. So I think it's harder to recruit to Lubbock, and I know a lot of Tech fans kind of have a chip on their shoulder because of that. But I think overall he's probably around a B minus, a little bit higher on the recruiting and a little bit lower for on the field.
Hunter, what do you think?
B, leaning towards a B plus. And The only reason he isn't an A in my book currently is because of two plays. We have a field goal from, I believe it's over 45 yards at least, potentially over 50 yards against West Virginia. And then we have just a completely botched 2-point conversion at Baylor, you know, top 5 team in the nation looking to make the playoffs. There's just so many like this past season was not average in anything. It was just strange. Just an almost anomaly. We're going into TCU. We're nearly tied at half. We're scoring with them, and man, we just fall apart. The framework for what he wants is there. It is so very, very evident. I mean, let's take his first year coming in. He inherited a cupboard from Tommy Tuberville that had 5 defensive linemen on it on scholarship. 5. That's it. No more, no less. So we almost have to take JUCO D linemen, and that, like, we have to. We lose one guy, and then all of a sudden we only have one backup across 3 positions. That's absolutely insane. What he's had to do here and who he's had to play week in and week out, I'm giving him a B+. The only reason he's not an A is because of those two instances. Because if we peel off those two wins, I really do believe the way we improve towards the end of the year, that if we go into a bowl game against a team from the MAC or a team from, you know, wherever, I believe we could peel a win off of them. And I believe we come away with a 7-5 record and we look back at our season and we're saying, okay, it was tough. Arkansas was a really, really rough game. TCU is the worst thing I've ever had to sit through in my life. But we peeled one off Baylor, and we steadily improved throughout the year. And that's where I think Cliff's strength is we're not seeing this overnight complete and total 180 turnaround, but every single game there's been something where we can point to and say, okay, they're doing this a little bit better. You can see, okay, the recruiting's paying off a little bit here. Nigel Bethel is improving every game. Tevin Madison's improving every game. Jakeem Grant's improving every game. Patrick Mahomes is improving every game. It doesn't happen overnight, and we definitely drew the short end of the stick having to go to TCU, going to Kansas State. Man, I really do think that he's got us on the right track, recruiting-wise, all that kind of stuff. And even the people that, like, oh, the sky is falling with defensive recruiting, he just signed Nigel Bethel, who's a composite four-star. He got Mike Mitchell to come here, who was, like, the number one – he was the number one Nike Spark rating of all time. He's the top athlete to ever come through that camp. Braden Fehoko, five-star defensive lineman. Like, it might take another season or two, but I really do believe that he has the framework here to where we can become a force in football if we just give him the time, let him do his thing. You can, I mean, game planning, like, you can see it. We score pretty well when, you know, we make the right reads and we don't shoot ourselves in the foot with penalties. Sorry, that was – I'm off my soapbox now.
No. I was letting you stand on it for a while and go to town. I don't know what to think. I'm not going to give him a grade. Here's what I'll say. I have issues with his inability to think of the team holistically. What I mean by that is last year when our defense was, number one, very thin up front and at linebacker and pretty much in the secondary too, we refused to slow the game down when we had one hell of an offensive line and a really good running back and a really good freshman running back. We refused to slow the game down to help them out. And then we would come out and bang, 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 three incomplete passes, a three and out, immediately punt the ball to them. So in-game decisions like that just repeatedly made me scratch my head. Then I see on the flip side, I see other things about – I just wrote this. I commented on – the Fields commitment story just a few minutes ago, their ability to identify talent is off the charts. I mean, Tristan Wallace was a good example. I mean, we were on him early. Then Ohio State comes in. He flipped. That's fine. But they were one of the first on him, if I remember right. Jet Duffy, another one that they're in on. This DeMarcus Fields, just watched his film. That kid is impressive. He's a physical cornerback, exactly what Gibbs wants. I mean, I love the players that they go after, almost every one of them. The ones that they go after, the ones that they offer, love most of the choices they make on that side of the ball or on that in that part of the game, college football game. But I just – the in-game stuff is just – I scratch my head. I'm not sure if I made this comment or if I just wrote it in an article but deleted it before I actually posted the article, but he comes off as a watered-down version of Mike Leach to me, like a less entertaining off-the-field personality to Mike Leach. So he trades basically the humor and the quirkiness for better recruiting, better talent identification, but on the field it's the same thing. We're going to sling it around the field. When I just posted this article on offensive efficiency, all you guys check it out. I'm going to plug my own article there. But when you see the offensive efficiency, the top teams are doing things much differently than you're doing, and you're still sticking to the same mentality, which is I loved Mike Leach. It was a big frustration of mine, too, is he didn't look at the team holistically either. I mean, he wasn't. From all reports, and I was never there personally, but from all reports, he was at practice on the offensive side of the field working with those guys while the defense was under the coordinator. And as head coach, you can't do that. You can't, you know, be exclusively on one side. Not saying that Cliff is, but that's the feeling that I get. So I don't know. I think this season, to me, this season will prove a lot because I know the cupboard was bare. I agree with you 100%, Hunter, on that. We did some articles right when the Beaver the Matadors staff kind of turned over back in March. We did a couple of articles on the 2010 and 2011 recruiting classes, and it is unimaginable the amount of attrition that went on. It was almost 50% between those two classes, and you can't survive and succeed at that at the college level when half or even more, I think it was more than half, I can't remember the exact numbers, but it was like 50, 55, 60%, somewhere in there, of attrition from non-qualifiers, transfers, injuries, and plain on just moving on from football. You just can't survive. So I know that the deck was stacked against him before he came on board. That's why I think this season is going to be a telltale sign. Can he start to right the ship, make adjustments, learn? Because I know the staff is young and they're still learning. So we'll see. I, like I said, I think this season is going to be big.
Mm-hmm.
All right, a question about the actual season now. Do we win one of these three games? It's a three-game stretch early in the season, and it's a hellacious three-game stretch. At Archie, TCU at home, Baylor in Arlington. Do we want to win one of those three, Hunter?
TCU. If we win any of them, we win TCU. Arkansas in Arkansas is not going to be a very fun matchup for us. I mean, a lot of it could depend on how our rushing defense improves, how well we play on the road. Kliffke has proven that he can go on the road and play well. Sometimes it feels like we play better on the road than at home. Nearly peeled one off of a top 10 ranked Oklahoma team in Norman. I think we really, really forget about 2013 when we were going 7-0 into that game. If it hadn't have been – I can't remember who else was playing. But if it hadn't been for that other game, College Game Day would have been in Norman for Texas Tech, Oklahoma. It was the second biggest game of the week. It was huge. And, I mean, we go down and we lose by, like, less than a score. I really think if we can prove that we can go out on the road and do something, we have a chance. Against Baylor, I don't see us really beating Baylor. I think Baylor is going to be the number one team in the conference next year. I just think it's really, really early. The injury bug hasn't hit them yet, and I don't think they blow us out, but I don't think we take it. But I really think we have a good chance to take out TCU here. We have the whole Lubbock juju thing going. It really feels like West Virginia in 2012, where we have this quarterback who can sling it all over the field, but who makes some questionable decisions sometimes, throwing to a whole lot of really talented skill players with a really great offensive line, and the defense that has been pretty good in the past has some pretty good defensive backs, but is losing some really key linebackers. I mean, they lose the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, and they lose both of their starting linebackers. And Walt Patterson, I hate and love his ability to find linebackers and put them in his system.
Yeah,
I don't think that losing those two guys is as like trivial as a thing as it seems. Yeah. Our best shot to get a win in those three is definitely TCU at home.
Jonathan, what do you think? I think last week you talked about Arkansas and having a chance if we forced them to pass the ball. And you actually talked to some Arkansas radio guys on their show last week. So you have some insight. What do you think?
Yeah, as far as the question, I'm going to think positive here, and I don't think we win one. I think we win all three. But being realistic now.
Okay.
I was going to say, I've got a couple of $100 here that we're about to throw down on that one.
Yeah, I was on with those guys, and they do have us penciled in as pretty much like a FCS team. It's a must, not only a must win for them, it's a guaranteed win. The radio guys claim that they're going to pass more this year. We'll see. And I guess by passing more, I guess they're going to throw the ball four times instead of just three. But yeah, Archie is going to be a tough game. Looking into that stadium, that's going to be a hostile crowd. Very, very interesting traditions there. But I guess you would see that in any kind of SEC team in that part of the country. But it's going to be really hard, especially if they just decide to run it down our throats. I do think we're going to be better equipped to handle that this year, especially with a little bit more depth on the line. And I think Rika, I know I talked about him last week, I think he's going to be a much bigger impact on the team this year. As far as TCU goes, I think it's going to be really hard for us to get over the mental hurdle of last year. I think if TCU starts scoring a lot, last year is going to come right back into our heads, and I don't think we're going to play our game. If we can keep up with them, I think we can win that game. So I'm going to have to agree. I think TCU is going to be our biggest one. Baylor's strong.
Yeah.
to make an understatement on that. I do think we're going to be able to hang with them a little bit, but I don't think we can win. I'll probably be at that game here in Arlington, going to as many games as I can. But it's going to be tough. I'm going to have to live with another year, I think, of my sister and brother-in-law, who are Baylor grads, holding that over my head. As much fun as it was while they were there, it's not too much fun anymore.
Right.
But yeah, I think TCU is that going to be the one that we have the best chance at.
That's interesting. I would have, if I had to cast my lot, I'd say Baylor, and it is only based on last season and our ability to hang with them. Not hang with them, make it a close game at the end, because we were down big during most of that game. But yeah, I just based on last year's results, I would say Baylor. But if I had to choose one that I would want to win most, I would go TCU at home.
Oh gosh, yes, beat the freaking Frogs. Yeah. Lubbock, just laugh.
All right, well, we're up against it as far as our, you know, we try to keep these to 30 minutes. Anything else out of you guys? Any questions that you think we should try to answer for the listeners before we jump off?
No, I think this is good. But to those listeners, if you have anything you want us to talk about, go ahead and put it in the comments of this article.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
More than happy to answer any questions you guys have. Hunter and Jonathan, appreciate your time as always. And thanks to the listeners. We appreciate you guys supporting the site. And like Jonathan said, any comments, questions that you want us to answer, feel free to put them at the bottom of the article, and we will get to them next week. Hey, guys, Jonathan, Hunter, appreciate it. We'll talk to you guys soon.
All right. Thanks, Wes.
Take it easy. See y'all next week.
All right. Thanks.